Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. This episode is sponsored by my free masterclass, Online Marketing for Translators and Interpreters, where you can learn how to transform your website and online presence on social media into client-generating machines. It looks like networking with clients at conferences and events will still not be possible for quite a while. This means that we all need to rely on connecting with clients online. There is no better time than now to review your online presence and make sure you are attracting your ideal clients. That's why I want to offer this free training in online marketing for translators and interpreters. During this training, you will learn how to optimize your website and social media online to attract clients to you. You will identify who you want to attract to your online platforms. You will learn strategies and tips for your website design and optimization, so search engine optimization. Learn how to leverage social media to attract your ideal clients. And you will get tips and tools to analyze your online marketing and see if it's really working. You can get instant access to this training at marketingtipsfortranslators.com/online-marketing. I can't wait to help you market your services online. So go to marketingtipsfortranslators.com/online-marketing. See you there. Hi there. Welcome to the Marketing Tips for Translators podcast. I hope you're doing well. Today and during some upcoming episodes this summer, I will do reruns of some older podcast episodes that you might have missed. The content will most likely be very relevant for you right now. We will talk about added client value on websites, how to use website to market your services, how to become more productive, how to best apply to translation agencies, and much more. As always, I would love to hear any feedback or questions you might have. So let's get started. Welcome to the Marketing Tips for Translators podcast. I want to thank you again for taking time out of your day to listen to these interviews and tips. Now, time management is perhaps not directly related to marketing, but if we don't manage our time efficiently, we don't have time to market, to do the marketing. So, therefore, it's a pleasure for me to be able to have David with me here today for the interview. And David is the president-elect for the ATA Board of Directors, and the ATA is the American Translators Association. He's also a good friend and colleague of mine, a Scandinavian translator. Some fascinating facts I have learned about David is that he has, for example, traveled around the world when he was 23, including the Trans-Siberian Railroad, and he has been meditating every day since he was 24, which I think is very amazing. Welcome to the podcast, David.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and your translation career for people who don't know you.
Well, I began my translation career way back when, in about around 1990, when I was in what we call graduate school. And that was before they had a World Wide Web. It was before they even had email. I had a client who contacted me to do some translation from Danish, and it was really fun and paid really well, and I continued doing that ever since. I've been involved in the industry eventually as a project manager for two agencies, one very small one called LinguaNet, another very large one called Polyglot International, both of which have gone the way of all things nowadays. I also worked as a localization manager. That's mm-hmm. to say as the end client, basically the person who hired the translation companies to translate a large enterprise level retail system. So we did localization for merchandising systems, inventory management, that kind of thing. And I got a really good understanding of the other side of the bridge, mm-hmm. how things work at the client end.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years ago, I left that position at Oracle Retail. I do some consulting, but most of the time I'm a freelance translator like yourself. I work mm-hmm. In technical, medical, and commercial documentation, primarily mm-hmm. in Scandinavian languages, so Swedish, Danish, Norwegian, and occasionally I'll take on the German job. And I've been a member
into English.
Into English, yes. And I've been a board member on the American Translators Association, I think, since about 2008 or 9, I want to say. And I've been president-elect for about a year, so.
Okay. So you must be a pleasure to have work for, or not to hire, because you have the perspective of both the project manager and the end client.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's a real benefit. You know, I understand what the client is looking for. You know, the project management position is always what we call a little bit combat pay. You're always stuck between a rock and a hard place. The translator mm-hmm. has their demands. The client has their demands. And the client and the translator usually don't understand each other. A lot of clients think there's some, you know, chimpanzee in the back room that can type out the translation faster than a human can. And mm-hmm. so the project managers are always in a position of having to educate the client about what's feasible, what's the best process, and at the same time keep their translators happy while at the same time getting them on board to meet the client's demands. It's been really interesting in that regard.
You would be a good person to present about this at the conference. Have you ever done that?
I did, actually. I did do a session called The End Game, I think, Understanding the End Client.
I think I attended that,
yeah,
now that you say it.
Because there's a lot of there's a lot that goes on. There's a whole other slew of decision makers behind the person who's requesting the translation.
Mm.
So the boss of the person who's requesting the translation is somebody that that person has to respond to, that has even less understanding of how translation works. There's all kinds of cost issues, because translation is not a service that's easily listed on the books. Is it a mm-hmm. sales? Is it associated with sales? Is it associated with production? Is it associated with advertising? It's very difficult for companies to find a line item in their general ledger for translation. So there's a lot of pressure in that regard.
Mm-hmm. So who do you prefer to work with then? Do you prefer to work with the end clients and educate them, or do you prefer to work with the agencies?
I prefer to work with the agencies. The languages mm-hmm. that I'm working in generally tend to be languages that are done in a fell swoop. So when a client mm-hmm. is working, they're creating a product and they're releasing it in another language, generally they'll start with what they call figs first,
mm.
French, Italian, German, and Spanish. Mm. If there's enough money, they'll do other languages involving Scandinavian languages. They might do Portuguese. They might do Russian. And so the languages I work in are somewhat, it's less likely that I'll be able to find a direct client who will
yes.
be working all of the time in Swedish translation services. And mm-hmm. so there are clients out there, but if that's the case, oftentimes they'll hire somebody in-house. And so mm-hmm. I tend to work more generally with agencies. And also, you know, frankly, I don't have to do the hand-holding for the clients anymore, and I'm glad to let the project manager do that, because, you know, having to work with the end client makes you both the project manager and the translator, resolving all kinds of technical issues, educating the client. Your deadline is a lot tighter. you can get paid better, but there's also doing a lot more. There's also a lot more work involved sometimes.
So let's move on to time management. I mean, you do meditation, and I know that you manage your time really well. So during the presentation last year at the annual conference for American Translators Association, you gave us, together with Corinne, a lot of tips. So I want you to share them here with us today. First of all, being a freelancer, a freelance translator, it's really hard for us to manage our time, I think. Why is that? Why is it hard to manage our time successfully as a freelancer and have regular work hours?
Well, oddly enough, I'm one of the few people that maintains regular work hours. I basically start working around 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning, and at 5 or 6 or so, I quit. I take a lunch break. But I agree, it's very difficult for people because the industry has changed a lot. We work in sort of an almost on, always on environment. In other words, clients now can contact you all the time because of smartphones. You always have access to the internet. You almost always have access to email. So it's inundating. Clients will assume no matter what day, no matter what time of day, that you're going to be available and that you'll be responding to them, or at least you'll be receiving their messages. I work with clients, a lot of overseas clients in Scandinavia and other parts of Europe. So there's a time zone issue, which is difficult for people, particularly with me. I'm 9 hours away. So I've got to be able to respond by 9 o'clock, you know, otherwise the client will be left for the day. A lot of other translators also, I'm fortunate in that I don't have a, you know, it's just my partner, myself. I don't have children. So, but a lot of other translators do. They have family life that creeps in. And it is true that when you work at home, people think that you're just baking cookies all day long. When in fact, it's very difficult to make sure that you keep, you know, family tasks and make time for work tasks at the same time. So it's challenging. And like I said, you know, in addition to, there's so many different things to check. We have to check email. You have to check different phones. You'll get texts. You might get an instant message. You might have Skype messages, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all these other items for you to be checking on all the time. And the key underneath a lot of this, actually, the reason why we don't have time to make regular business hours is because we basically are fearful, tons of fear that if we don't respond to everything, no one's going to call us again, that we're going to lose clients, we won't be available when the message arrives, and that will be the end of the world. And the fear is what really keeps us from setting out what it is we want to achieve, how we want to work, and pursuing that.
So you have a regular work hours. Do you work weekends at all?
No, I don't.
Okay,
believe it
good.
Or not, no, I don't. Very rarely. Maybe once every month or two. But generally, I then will make up for it. I'll say, you know, I took a Sunday off or took a Sunday Monday, so I'll have a slow day on a Monday, Tuesday instead. It's really, really important to take time off for yourself. Because, and I think I mentioned this at the presentation, if you don't take time off for yourself, then you basically burn out. And a lot of people will sort of quit this job thinking, oh God, you know, it's way too much work, and they'll take up another job. But, you know, any kind of job involves time management. And if you don't learn the time management discipline and the skills, you're just going to burn out at the next job.
Yes. For me, I try not to work weekends, and I usually don't do translation work over the weekends, but I am passionate about this podcast and about the marketing tips, so I tend to work a lot on that over the weekends.
And that's great. I mean, it's important to work on the stuff that gives you energy, that gives you enthusiasm, that will keep you going.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So before your presentation, I know that Corinne McKay did a survey last year asking the readers of her blog about what the most challenging is for us freelance translators when we try to manage our time. Can you tell us briefly about the results?
Yeah, actually, well, there were sort of two kinds of surveys. One was basically, you know, what are your biggest challenges in terms of time management? Mm-hmm. The biggest one for people was procrastinating. About 64% said that. Mm-hmm. Just over half complained about being easily distracted. Mm-hmm. Just under half, 44%, said they can't say no to anything. Mm-hmm. Other people said responsibilities outside of work. That was about 42%. There were about a quarter of the people felt they had taken on too much work. They had trouble prioritizing. About 16% complained of feeling overwhelmed. And we had a 10% feeling that they didn't really have a good place to work, and that was impacting their ability to manage their time. And the other half of the survey was basically about the repercussions. We asked people what was the result of that, and they said more than three quarters work late at night or early in the morning. About 64% don't have enough time for non-work interests. They can't do other things that they want to do. About that same number felt that they were stressed about their work-life balance. Half people felt very stressed about work. Half the people, interestingly enough, said that they felt that they were finishing projects at the very last minute. Mm-hmm. 20% people felt that they were missing family events, forgetting deadlines, asking for extensions. Unfortunately, only 12% said that they were missing deadlines, which is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's go over to the tips you gave us then. Those were the results, and then you started giving tips on what to do. And one of the first things you mentioned was our email and our email inbox. I don't know if you feel the same as I. Sometimes I get, when I open my email, I have 50 new emails, and how can we manage it better?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the, you know, in the survey, one of the main things, main problems was being easily distracted. You know, an email is a huge distraction. Mm-hmm. Download the thing, there's 300, you know, I'll easily have 100 emails if I go away for a weekend and come back on a Monday, or sometimes, you know, even overnight. So there are a couple things that you can do, some really key things that you can do that not everybody knows about, but they're really, really simple. I mean, the first and foremost is you want to basically separate your email. I mean, get a good junk filter for one, because junk mail oftentimes can be deceiving and you can't figure out it's junk mail. You're wasting time reading something, you figure out it's junk mail. The other is, you know, create subfolders, or if you're working in Google Mail, I think you work with labels that allows you to separate out personal mail from work mail or mail that's involved with other types of projects. So, you know, Outlook, I'm a big fan of Outlook, to be honest with you. It's a really powerful tool where you can create tools in Outlook, basically, so that it will look for mail from specific people that you designate, or specific words in the subject line or words within the body of the text. And then you can create different folders, and you can tell Outlook, you know, if it says ATA, put it in ATA folder. If it says Buddhism, you know, put it in Buddhism folder. If it comes from a particular client, put it in urgent request folder, and then add a reminder at the same time, so that you'll get a little reminder to remind you that this is what you need to take care of. So that'll help a lot to really filter out what it is you need to do. You can have all those posts on Facebook or LinkedIn. Those can go into a separate folder, and then you can basically look at them when you need to, so that you're not distracted as you're going through your email box by, oh, wow, what a cool Facebook post. Let me just click the link to see. And the next thing you know, 10 minutes have gone by. You're in a totally different, you know, you're totally distracted on Facebook. Which brings me to the other point we talked about, was that set aside a time to check your email. You don't need to check it every 15 minutes. You can check it, you know, every 30 minutes, or even every hour. Some people do a little longer than that. Clients are always amazed when I reply within, you know, they're going to be happy that you reply. So it doesn't matter necessarily. They've got a lot of stuff on their plate already. They don't necessarily need to hear from you right away. So you have time. You have 30 minutes to wait to reply. By that same token, don't let it go too long. You don't want, you know, all kinds of messages that you haven't replied to pile up. And then clients call you and say, you know, did you get my message?
Yes.
And that's kind of bad for me, because a lot of times what will happen, clients overseas will send me something at 2 a.m. my time, you know, and then by 6 a.m. they're calling me first thing saying, didn't you reply to my message? But so I
looked for those. And they forget that you are in a totally different time zone. That's what they do for me.
Another time zone, yeah.
And yeah, so, they send it at 2 a.m. and they start calling at 5.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And so what you can do to that also is you can add, at the end of the day, you can put an autoresponder on there and say, you know, I'm closed for the day. I'll be back at this time this in the morning. And then the client will automatically get that and they won't be bothering you. The other thing
I haven't done that. I do check email about every hour, and then I turn it off so I don't hear any plings or anything like that while I'm working.
That's a good thing, yeah.
And I did start create, after your presentation, I do have a separate folder for it, all the LinkedIn messages and stuff, but then I never check them. That's my problem.
Yeah.
I don't go to that folder.
Yeah. I will say a couple other quick items about that. The other one is send, you know, short, concise messages. If you if your email message is longer than 5 lines long or 2 paragraphs, you know, call the person. Don't waste time trying to type up a response, because people don't read lengthy responses. It just, they skim it. There are very few people that do. Project managers in particular have no time. They're crammed for time. The job that they're working on, they're probably juggling 4 or 5 at the same time. So reply briefly. If you have to reply lengthy, then give them a call. And lastly, you know, if you want to receive less email, send less email. So think before you carbon copy everybody on everything. If you carbon copy everybody will chime back in. So think about who this needs to go to. Talk, you know, keep it short and sweet. And lastly, you know, for email, basically, you know, I'm guilty of this. I keep everything. I mean, I think I have 15,000 emails, but the bottom line is you either respond, you delete. So, or you mark as unread, you know, to do it later. So ideally give yourself a chance to say, I'm going to respond. Do I have to respond right now? Or do I respond later? If you can respond later, fine. If you don't have to respond right now, fine. Otherwise, delete the thing.
What I have done also about responding is sometimes I know that I'm creating the same message over and over, and I've started to make those into the I also use Outlook. You can insert
auto-text.
What's it called? Yes.
Yeah, I do that too.
Yes. So I have like 4 or 5 of those, especially if I some of the ones, the dear sir, madam, I am a Japanese translator, then I have an R response for that, or a paste-in response for that. And I also have the one that you said, that thank you for your inquiry. I'm currently booked. And then I can also add the date if I want to stuff like that.
I have like a list of them in Word, and I just copy paste. So I'll have to get your tips about where to find that in Outlook, because I'm looking for that one to have the auto text. So I just bring up Word, I just copy paste the thing in there. Uh-huh. That's good that it's got that auto text.
Yes, it's a great tool. So
absolutely.
So one of the biggest problems people had, according to the survey, then was the procrastination. Do you have any tips on how to stop procrastinating?
Well, you know, procrastination really is basically, you know, not paying attention to what you're really doing. And so oftentimes, you know, it's basically something you don't want to do. And so they say, you know, oftentimes, you know, force yourself to do the unpleasant tasks first. Well, actually, let me go back a bit. I mean, the first thing you should do is look for the kind of work that you enjoy, you know, and take on the projects that you like to do. You will find yourself procrastinating less. If you're interested in a particular type of translation or you like working for a particular client, seek those out. Don't just take everything that lands in your inbox on a first come, first serve basis. You can be a little, it pays to be a little choosy. If you choose, you know, the first thing that comes through and it's a disastrous, you know, illegible PDF on a subject you don't really know very much about or you're not comfortable with, but paid miserable, you're not going to want to do that as much. If you're working on something you like with a client you like, then it's easy not to procrastinate. By that same token, there's a lot of other stuff we have to do at the same time. There's accounting, there's marketing, follow-ups. So follow those things that you, you know, do the things that you don't like to do first, because oftentimes that then will, they won't be hanging over your head. And you can focus on the stuff that you, then when you're doing the stuff that you like to do, it's even more enjoyable. And it's not sort of overshadowed with, oh boy, I have to do this next miserable job coming up next. By that same token, look for ways to sort of outsource the tasks that you don't like doing. Find somebody who can help you with marketing. Find somebody who can help you with billing. Find somebody who can help you with some family tasks or other things that you have to do. That's a good thing to do. Another tip I have is for basically using a calendar to visualize your time. So when a client calls you in and you say, sure, I'll take this one. It's, you know, it's only going to take me a day, but then you forgot, oh, I have another project that's going to come up that same time, or I've got a piano recital or whatever. I'm surprised how few people actually see it all on a calendar. I have like a big monthly calendar in front of the computer and I write everything in there so I can see, you know, how much time is actually available to do different things.
Is that a paper calendar or is it on the computer?
I use both a big paper one to scribble because people will call and stuff. And then I transfer it all into Outlook and then I sync it to everything else. But you can use your Outlook calendar just the same. You can also use Outlook for, you know, things get really hectic. I would use sticky notes, you know, and there's electronic sticky notes. There's also real sticky notes. You can put, you know, post-it notes right on your monitor. The other thing I would say is another critical thing is take the time out, take 15 minutes of the day or an hour or so in the week before the week and create a list of things that you want to accomplish within the week, things that you have to accomplish this week and things that you would like to accomplish this week. So, you know, categorize them A, B, and C. And focus on the A's. You shouldn't have that many A's, you know, and then once you get the A's done, work on the B's and the C's. So I always find it helps in the morning to kind of review the plan. I do it weekly, but when I was the project manager, we did it daily. One of my bosses used to make us all, we bought the Franklin system or whatever, and we had to write down everything we had to do. If we had more than 10% A's, there was a real problem. You had to basically focus on what is it that you have to do today? And then what is it you would like to do today? And once you figure out what you have to do today, you'll find that there isn't that much that you absolutely have to do today. And then you'll feel like, the pressure's off. And so you can actually kind of focus on that stuff and get it done. And then you can move on to the next item.
I actually, I have an electronic calendar only, but I do every morning write a paper list of to-dos for the day.
And
it feels so good to cross it off.
It really does. There's another thing, you know, you might do in terms of procrastinating, you know, is, well, there's two things. I mean, one is when you feel like if you can kind of check your energy level a little bit, Some people work really well in the morning. Other people work really well in the afternoon. Some people get their energy late at night. And figure out where that space is and then adjust your schedule to that so that you're doing the, you know, the difficult things, the things that require a lot of energy or, you know, the main translation stuff at those times when you have a lot of energy. And then do the stuff like, you know, random invoicing or, you know, cleaning or other kinds of catching up on your LinkedIn on those times of the day when you don't have as much energy. So find out if you're a morning person, afternoon person, or a late night person and work that way. That'll help you kind of stop procrastinating.
So we've talked now about a calendar and we've talked about Outlook and Gmail. Do you have any other softwares that you can recommend to help us manage our time?
Well, actually, yeah, a couple. I mean, we talked about Outlook and Google, but one of the things I do use actually is a central electronic list called Wunderlist. So that's W-U-N-D-E-R-L-I-S-T. And it basically is a list that you can create. You just keep a list of everything that comes up. You can assign them different priorities. You can assign subtasks to the tasks. It syncs, you know, on your desktop, to your phone, to your tablet. And whenever you think of something, write it down. Don't think, I'm going to do that later when I'm planning, you know, and this allows you to just, whatever you're on your phone, it comes to you, oh, you know, I've got to do this, write it down. And that way you can check your list all the time and see what it is you have to do and prioritize them. And so that you, the things don't get lost because you don't have your paper list with you. The other,
I haven't heard about that. So let's put a link in the show notes to this.
Yeah, it's called Wunderlist, W-U-N-D-E-R-L-I-S-T. I think it's free. It may be like a free version, then an upgrade. I can't remember. But I've been using, I know I haven't paid for it, so I'm pretty sure it's free.
Okay.
The other is Toggle. That's T-O-G-G-L. And that's a time tracking list or time tracking software. So it takes a little getting used
to. I use Toggle.
Do you really? Okay, yeah. It takes a little getting used to, but it's actually quite good because then it figures out, you basically sort of, it's like a stopwatch that tells you, you know, when you are translating or when you're marketing or when you're doing billing or when you're doing cooking or when you're doing cleaning or when you're doing advertising or proofreading or whatever it is. And then you can kind of see, or, you know, most importantly, when we're randomly surfing the web, when we're chatting on the phone with somebody. And so then it can produce the results and you can see where your time is going. And that allows you to say, hey, you know what? I spend a lot of time on the internet cruising Facebook. You know, maybe I should block that during the day.
But don't you have to put that in there? Because I would not put that in there. If I use Toggle. I started using Toggle to time my proofreading tasks and stuff like hourly paid. And I haven't really started using. I know you can put tags on it and you can put categories and stuff. But I would not start the timer for Facebook, for example.
Oh, I would, you know, because or call it break and see how much time, how much break time you're using.
Okay.
Be surprised how much time I'm always
so
surprised.
You time everything, right?
Well, not anymore, but I've done it before. And Facebook is a huge time waster. It's
yes,
like
I
a little
know.
Cookie. You finish something and then you want to do something else. And so the next thing you know, you're half an hour on there. And so, you know, once you've been taking a half hour break four times or, you know, five times a day, that's two and a half hours.
Yes, I have to start using Toggle even more because it's good to know where the time goes.
Yes.
So.
And there's also a good old paper. I mean, like I said, I have a paper calendar because I'm a visual person. I like that paper calendar to see, you know, the month at a time, and I can say, oh, this is this. Although I'm trying to use more of the Outlook one now, just so I can. But I have all the different, I have like an iPhone, Windows, Outlook, and then I have a Android tablet. So it took me like a week to get them all to sync together. So.
Yeah. But it's nice when it does.
Yes, it's very nice.
So I run everything now through, I mean, I have a PC. And I actually have Windows on my Mac, but I run everything through iCloud.
Oh, really? Interesting.
The email and the calendar.
Yeah.
So that seemed easy.
Yeah.
Easiest.
Yeah, for sure.
Any other software?
Not that I can, there's also sticky notes. If you have Windows, it comes built in. Just, go to your start button. Or if you're using Windows 8, go just bring up the tile screen and just type sticky notes. And that's an online sticky note, basically. It's on-screen post-its that show up on your screen all the time. So that's a good one. There are a couple other softwares out there in terms of time tracking. I think that I'm not sure if MemoQ does. I know that Omega T, which is a translation memory tool, it also has like a time tracking thing built into it that tracks it tracks your time. It also tracks your progress, so you can see how quickly you're translating. So,
I also know that of a software or a program called Trello, that where you can create lists. I haven't used it that much yet, but you can create to-do lists and move them over to doing and done, and then you can invite other people for the projects and stuff like that.
Yeah, no. I know.
So I will put Wunderlist, Toggle, and Trello in the show notes.
And I mean, I can't say enough about Outlook. I really like Outlook.
Yeah.
The new Outlook 2013 allows you have these little sort of built-in macros. So as an email comes in, I click a button and I'll say project, and that will create an item on my calendar and on my task list with a color code red, and then I'll enter the due date. So I can see the due date of the project.
I haven't used that.
Yeah.
I need to learn how to do that.
Yeah, and so that's really great because then you can see when all the projects are due, basically, and that gives you a good idea.
Okay. Finally, I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about how to make our workspace better.
Ah, okay. Well, I mean,
you showed a picture.
Yeah, I know.
I know you showed a picture during the presentation of your workspace, and your desk was so tidy.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty pretty much of a neat freak for that. I love piles. I'm a Virgo, so everything is systematized. But the first thing first is it should be a fun place to hang out. Mm-hmm. Have that space be a space that you're comfortable in. If you're working long hours in a place that you don't like, in somebody's closet, or, working on a little tiny table that's, not at the right height, you're breaking your back typing, 24 hours a day, you're going to hate this job. You're not going to last long. So make it nice, add some furnishings, some pictures, give yourself some inspiration, allow some music in the room. Find a place that, if you can, that's relatively quiet, and dedicate that space also. That's the other key. Dedicate that space, and when you leave. Close. If it's a space, so you can close the door, preferably if it's a different part of the house, is even better. Because then it doesn't feel like your work space is, crowding in on your personal life. There's some separation there. Mm-hmm. So the other is, make sure it's comfortable. So, make sure you get the computer at the right height. A lot of people don't know how high or low their computer should be, and they get neck pain and back pain bending over. I'm also going to invest. I have my own contraption, but I adjust my configuration. So I put a bunch of these plastic boxes where I bring the monitor up, and I bring it all up so that I can stand. I think there's
And IKEA has legs now that you can put on the table that are self-adjust, you can raise and lower in.
Excellent. Yeah, I saw one on a SkyMall magazine when I was on a flight once.
That wasn't the whole table. That was just the thing that you put on the table to raise and lower.
Yeah. So, and I find that helps a lot because somehow I see when I'm standing, I'm a lot more focused. Because it's just you and the computer and the keyboard, And so you're translating, I translate much faster than when I'm sort of sitting down, unless the energy level is different. I just have greater energy when I'm standing up. The other thing
I learned that from Konstantin Kysin during I interviewed him for the podcast, and you sound more energetic too if you're standing up.
Yeah, I agree. And it's better for your body. I mean, health reports all say your body burns more calories standing up. It's a more natural position. So I try to do it as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, mm-hmm. I would say, you know, and this isn't easy for everybody. It's easy for me to say, you know, keep your place organized. So, you know, invest in a few file folders, invest in a few baskets. I've got like 4 baskets. One's an inbox, you know, where all the new stuff comes in. And then I have a box for ATA, a box for translate for my business, North Country Translations, and a box for billing. And so, you know, I kind of use those. I'll keep piles on my desk where I'll have a pile for receipts or a pile for invoices. I also keep all of my dictionaries relatively close by so I can easily access them. But it's not easy for everyone. I like the idea of a single inbox, and then you basically sort of decide as you go through it, you know, do I need to deal with this right away, then file it where it needs to go or toss it. And then you're just sort of working out of one box as opposed to hunting around trying to find, I put this on the file for billing and I, you know, I can't remember it. I haven't even had a chance to look at it yet. So
I want to add one thing about the office space. I've always had an office in our house, but I noticed that I wasn't liking sitting there. And after reading actually Feng Shui, I redid the office and I moved so I can look out the window and see the door. Before, I was having my back towards both,
you know,
looking into the wall, and it has made a tremendous difference for me.
You know, I totally agree. I did that to my house too when I first moved in the office. I'm facing the wall. I had a door behind me and I couldn't really see out the window. And then I just turned the thing around so that I'm facing the door sort of over on my right ahead of me. And then there's another window over on my left. And it totally changes the energy level. It totally changes the energy level. It's really interesting.
So that made it more pleasant to spend time in my office for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny, you see that, you know, when you go to the movies and stuff like that and you see people, you know, high powered executives, they're always in these offices where the door comes in. You know, and it's not like they ever approach the president and the president is, you know, sitting there against the wall. He's always sort of facing the people that come in. So
that's an interesting observation.
Yeah.
Finally, I have a question that I do ask of all the interviewees. Can you share one marketing strategy that works well for you right now when you market your translation services?
The one I would say is actually creating a really good email signature. You'd be surprised how many translators out there just put their name or don't even have a signature in there. You can add a signature in Outlook and many other programs where you want to include as much information as possible. You want to include your name, the languages. It's like a mini resume. The name, your languages, the type of stuff that you work on. Your contact, they don't need to know your address necessarily, but you can add it in there if you want to. Your phone number, they obviously will know your email because if they're checking their email, they'll get it. Your website, any kind of LinkedIn or Facebook links that you want to add, any kind of certifications you want to add, and your time zone. Because
I've added the time zone and it's helped a lot.
It helps a lot because the client won't always, you know, the project manager won't always remember how to find you or look you up in their database. When I started, we had Rolodexes, but and this is a good way via email because then they'll see the email. If they want to call you, the telephone number is right there. They have to go into the database to find it and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really good way to do it.
That's a new tip, actually. We've heard a lot about networking, but this is a very easy to implement new tip. So thank you, David.
Yeah, no worries. I would also add a logo. If you don't have a logo or, you know, something like that, add something like that in there. It makes it a little interesting, although sometimes, you know, if it's too big, then it shows up as a separate GIF or whatever it is. But
mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, thank you, David. We can all use some more time management tips. And being a freelancer is both rewarding and challenging. And one of the challenges is managing our time. So thank you for the tips. And and like I said before, if we don't constantly work, manage our time, if we're constantly working, we can't have time to market our services to better clients either. So I also want to thank you, everybody, for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, you can find out more information in the show notes at marketingtipsfortranslators.com. And you can also from there share the episodes with someone you think would enjoy it too. So thank you, everyone, and have a great day. Hi there, this is Tess. Before we get into this week's episode, a short message about a new course. Is this you? You finally or unfortunately have some time to work on your business and website, but you don't know where to start. You know that you can make your website, your social media profiles, especially your LinkedIn profile, and your online content better to get it to show up higher in the search results and attract ideal clients to you so that you can hit the ground running once the economy has recovered. If so, I would like to invite you to my new mini course opening in May, complete with a guest teacher who is an expert on LinkedIn marketing. The course is called Inbound Marketing for Freelance Translators and Interpreters, How to Transform Your Website and Online Presence into Client-Generating Machines. There's no better time than now to review your online presence and make sure that you are attracting your ideal clients. That's why I wanted to offer you this course right now. I have guided over 200 students through this content in live or online workshops, and now I'm updating it and making it available as an online course that you can go through at your own pace and when it works for you. This course doesn't only cover an optimized website and its content or an optimized LinkedIn profile. It also covers all your online presence and how to use inbound marketing and content marketing to attract your ideal clients. Go to marketingtipsfortranslators.com/inbound-marketing for more information and to sign up. I will also put a link to this in the show notes. Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app or to share the episode with other colleagues. Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@marketingtipsfortranslators.com.